comes. Shazari has the ball in. At the buzzer, he throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76-all, Shazari flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Shazari goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
And a pleasant good afternoon. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. This is your Rye Show for your Thursday. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thank you for making Rye Show your number one local sports show. We've been doing it for 16 years now. The Pag Meter, Matty J. Matt, welcome on a rainy day.
Yes. I'd like to start right in with thanking Fashion Furniture for continuing this program, supporting local sports, specifically what we like to talk about is high school. But I've got a question, okay? This is a scientific question. I'm going to wait for the full answer until we bring in the most distinguished gentleman we've ever had on our show in, and you're going to be doing that introduction in a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm going to throw this out there so they can start thinking about this. We can send a man to the moon and back.
Did it several times. Or a lady.
No, our lady. Yeah. We can do that. Yeah. We can go send a robot and land it on Mars and take pictures back to our, you know, base in Orlando, Florida. And we can transmit a document and send it, and it'll come out thousands of miles away, an exact duplicate of that document. But we can't design some type of concrete mix that doesn't fall apart anytime it rains. The roads are an absolute disaster. There's potholes everywhere. There's cracks. It's like Fresno is constantly in a barrage of a major earthquake because there's more potholes and cracks in the road. And it seems like during rainy weather, they come out. I don't understand it.
How long have you been waiting to use this in a sentence?
On my drive over here from Madera, I drove in. I thought, what is wrong with these roads? It just baffles the
mind.
You
think we're saving money on concrete, thinking?
I think there's a scam going on that they put in poor materials so they know next week they can come over and do it again and go spend more money and keep the business economy going in the state of California. But I go to other states all over America, and it's like our roads are the worst roads in America. It's like we don't use the right concrete.
Well, we have some concrete in those bridges that are going to be sitting there for the next 100 years. We could probably take that apart and start recycling that.
Well, as we know, that's America's greatest billboard opportunity, all that poured concrete for the high-speed rail that will never be completed. That's not anything to do with sports. Right now, our leader, our mentor, Mr. Chris Pacheco, is probably rolling over on his desk, wondering what's going to happen next.
Well, I do want to thank Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. This is our partner for The Zone and The Rye Show, Thursdays and Fridays right here. And like the commercial says, Matt, there's nothing like it in California. If they don't have it,
you don't need it.
You really don't need it because they have it all. But Mike Boom Boom Mancini Dupree next door has your mattress covered. They got the Moe's. They got this whole block taken care of.
I walked over to the East 40 in this palatial palace we call Fashion Furniture and checked out the Bassett Home Furnishing Collection in the showroom.
Oh, something else.
That's some quality. I mean, that, made in the USA, best quality furniture I've ever seen. And it's displayed in such unique style. I love it back there in that part of this showroom.
Well, in about 5 minutes, we're going to have two of the legendary people in our valley. The legendary Tim Simons, we all remember Clovis Cougars and now Clovis North, and my old former coach, Mike Noakes from the Bullard Knights, both going to be with us. Get your questions ready if you have them. You can direct message us. You can also call 844-940-ESPN if you have any questions, because this is going to be fun to talk about some old stories, and we've been waiting for this show for a long time. I think it's easier to get a hold of Duck Koo Kim in North Korea than get a hold of these guys at one show.
Well, we've been working on this idea that you and I have had for probably the last, 4 or 5 years. We've been thinking we've got the two greatest iconic coaches that any valley, any area of America you want to talk about, right here in our own backyard. We have to get them on. And then you relay this to me years ago, but, well, you know, they actually played like Little League baseball together when they were growing. To know each other for all these years, boy, we're in for a treat.
Yeah, I can't wait. Let's take a quick break. We're going to come back to them. So if you have not ever met Mr. Tim Simons, the legendary coach, maybe you can throw his little voice out there. I don't know.
He has a lot of...
You're not going to do it now. Well, I always put pressure on you.
No, you can't. When you do a good impression of someone, you can't just throw... You've got to set it up.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to. You got to let it set up. And I haven't talked with Coach Simons in a while, so I might get some new material. He's got some good stories.
Well, give me a little, Tim, if you're talking to him on the chalkboard.
Well, there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat. You've got your idea. He's got his. Each way works.
And then we will be back with the legendary Mike Noakes, the Bullard Knight legendary coach who got the coach. He was my coach back in the day. We'll talk to both of them. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on The Rise Show. Don't go anywhere. This is going to be fun. We'll be right back.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Colliers International, Fashion Furniture across from River Park, Emmanuel Schools, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture El Paso Blackstone. It's the Pack Meter. It's Matty J on your Rise Show for your Thursday. Thank you to Fashion Furniture, also Dickie's Barbecue. Today we've got, as Bobby Boy says, the hoagie sandwiches and pulled pork. So if you're hungry, come on down and hang out with us. This is going to be a special show.
Well, the hoagie is an actual sandwich. It's not hoagie. It's a long roll. It's a French roll.
Okay, that's what I was meant to say.
A hoagie connotates some type of Italian, you know, hoagie.
Are you a pickles guy?
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand the whole pickle thing, so that's okay. Well, let's bring up the two legendary. I'm excited now. Mr. Tim Simons, the head coach of the Clovis Cougars for a long, long time, over 30 years, correct?
I was only the head coach there 24 years. Oh. I was at Clovis High back starting 1967. So how many years? I'm not sure how many that is, but it's a lot.
It's a lot. Jim Simons, the legendary football coach. And, of course, the legendary Mike Noakes, 708 wins. Tremendous career. Guys, welcome in.
Thank you and appreciate all your kind remarks. 1967 was the first year I was the head coach at Bullard. Then I took a couple years off. Bob Bennett came back and then started back being the head coach at Bullard after that. But before we get into the old news,
yes,
I'd just like to say I'm proud of my grandson, Jack Cooper.
Yes.
The son of a former
teammate Joe.
Of Nick's. Joe was a great kicker. He's going to be kicking at University of Montana next year.
Yeah, he could kick
Grizz
this year for Fresno City College.
Player for Tim at Clovis North, and thanks to Tony Caviglia, had him kick at City College this last football season, and he did well, made all conference, and now getting the opportunity to go up there. So
Montana's getting a good one.
About that.
Yeah, Montana's getting a good one.
Coach, did you get a chance, obviously, to give a little guidance through young man's career and talk a little bit about college choices and what brought along the University of Montana? I love the university, but that's off the main path.
Well, he kicked at Clovis North, and then he went to Ole Miss for a couple of years.
Okay.
Walk-on kicker.
Yes.
Redshirted 1 year and then decided to come back to Fresno and the opportunity to kick at City College. Now this other opportunity came up. So
that's beautiful.
Everybody's happy for him and the family.
Kicking runs in the family. Coach, can you kick at all?
Absolutely not.
Well, let's go way, way, way back. You both, as Matt's mentioned, you both played Little League together at Cary Little League Park, right? Or at Fresno High area. Where was it?
Hamilton.
Hamilton. Okay.
Fresno High area.
It's by the Fresno High. Tim Simons, Mike Noakes. See, my Little League team, I had a couple guys you might have heard of, Rex Hudler and the former tight end, Scott Scambry. You might have heard of Scott. We had a really good Little League team. Tell me about your Little League team back in the day.
Well, we weren't on the same exact team. We were in the same league.
Oh, same league, okay.
And my father, who Mike knew well, was one of the co-founders of Little League Baseball in this town. And my dad's wow. in the,
He's Roger Nuttall's dad.
Roger.
Taylor Nuttall.
Yeah.
Judd Simons.
My dad's in the Fresno County Athletic Hall of Fame. In fact, he was a professional baseball player. But at any rate, Mike and I were in the same league. In that first year, there was an all-star team chosen. Mike was on it for sure. I was taken as one of the 10-and-under players to actually be the bat boy in the tournament. But our team went really – we won the whole city and went down to – I think it was San Bernardino, wasn't it, Mike? And played in the regional playoffs. And so it was a pretty exciting thing for first year of Little League Baseball in Fresno.
Well, Fresno High back then was really good in baseball. That was the start, right? Them and Roosevelt.
Pretty good players. Like Jim Maloney.
Jim Maloney.
Mike Urizola.
Yeah.
Both professional baseball players. And there were some other really good Little League players.
Can I say one other thing about that,
please,
though? My team was a Rotary. They were our sponsor, and Maloney was a pitcher on our team. But 2 years later, when I was a 12-year-old, we had a 10-year-old guy who was our starting pitcher. It's Tom Seaver.
Might have heard of him.
Our little Rotary Little League team had some pretty good guys there, are pretty good pitchers of those two.
Was Tom pretty good back in when he was in Little League? I know he's a late bloomer.
He was a late bloomer, but he was 10 years old. He was ace on our staff, and he wasn't a big guy either. He wasn't a big 10-year-old, but he just knew how to pitch even at that young age.
Do you find that both Coach Noakes and baseball was where he found his gold, and, of course, Coach Simons with football and Fresno State and all the travels you've been through and coaching the game? Did you find back then, was baseball really numero uno? Was it the sport, or was football in youth and all that catching up? Or what was the standard back then?
Well, for me, it was about the same.
Yeah.
Maybe Little League started a little bit before youth football, tackle football. I'm not quite sure, Tim.
Oh, yeah, it did. Yep.
So baseball.
About 10 years before.
So we're talking with Tim Simons and Mike Noakes. So when did you guys decide, you had tremendous careers going up? You know what? I want to be a coach. When did that sink in?
Well, for me, right out of high school, back to this Little League, or North Fresno Little League, my dad, who was still an officer in the Little League organization, said, hey, we just lost a coach for the Rotary Club. Right at the last minute, so what about you being the one to coach the team? And I said, yeah, I think I could. And I had my friend Pat Corrales who helped me, who Mike knows, of course. And but, you know, after about not very long into me coaching Little League Baseball, I knew that I wanted to be a teacher and a coach. And my mother came from a long line of educators. She was a school teacher. It just seemed to be natural for me. I just knew then that's what I wanted to do, even though I wasn't a good enough athlete to be a college football player. And I coached Little League football, too, a couple of years later. So early on for me, I knew this is what I wanted to do.
And Coach Noakes, how about you? When did you want to be a coach?
Well, my high school baseball coach, Ollie Bidwell, was a big sort of factor in my life, kind of inspired me. But then I went away to school, played at Fresno City College, and then went to Cal. I wasn't good enough to play professional baseball. My dad was professor at Fresno State. I came back here and did my graduate work, getting teaching credential and master's degree, and that's when I wanted to be a teacher and a coach. I helped Pete Biden as a student assistant, and
it started from there.
Matt,
one thing about Tim Simons, Mike knows, they're the nicest guys right now. But when the lights go on, the most two competitive people I've ever met in my whole life.
Certainly.
I mean, am I right about that? Matt, you know as well as I do.
Well, I know in the world of, obviously, I love them both, but you know more about baseball clearly than I do, and, of course, your affiliation as a Bullard Knight with great Coach Noakes. I'm a football guy, and in my circle, every time people talk about how to prepare, you know, proper preparation to prevent any piss poor performance or anything. It always goes to someone raising their hand. Well, I heard Coach Simons and his crew would get together on a, they would never go home. They put the time and the effort into reviewing and film. And that tree was what I would want to ask Coach Simons, that coaching tree of all those young coaches that looked at you as the mentor and then branched out. It's quite an extensive list if you really go down. Do you get together with a lot of your old coaches from the Clovis Cougar days and have reunions or things like that?
Well, we do. The group I had at Clovis High, they were primarily my age, however, though.
Yeah.
And so most of all of them are retired now, except one, Bill Biggs.
Bill Biggs.
And his son, Kyle, of course, played for us.
Yeah.
He was a Valley Championship quarterback in 1997. And but, yeah, we get together. Mike Freeman had a birthday a couple months ago. We all got together, had a great time. We spent so many hours together for 24 years that we liked each other. That was a nice feature that we had. We enjoyed each other's company. It was a good thing because we spent so much time together.
Yeah, so when the game was done on a Friday night, did you all gather maybe at your house? Or what was your? Give me a little sense of your itinerary. Let's put yourself back to the championship years of Clovis Cougar football, and let's start after a big win and then lead us through the following week of preparation, what your typical schedule looked like.
Well, for one thing was for sure, win or lose, we got together after the game.
Yes.
Okay. And often at my house,
yep.
But somebody's house, no matter what, we did that.
With the wives and girlfriends coming
wives,
too?
Girlfriends, yeah. Little kids,
yeah,
whatever.
Nice.
That was for sure going to happen.
Yeah.
And if we had to drive from Bakersfield, I remember that 97 team that won the Valley Championship with Kyle Biggs as quarterback, we didn't get back in town till, I don't know, 1 in the morning. Went over to Jack Erdman's house. That night we had our get-together at Jack Erdman's house. But that was a for sure thing we were going to do.
Okay.
But then we worked 7 days a week, and that was automatic too. But one thing we did, I think, was different. In the early 80s, we started filming practices.
Yep.
When other people around here were not doing that. And we found a way to get that done because I thought we needed to step up. And we started doing that. And so every night after practice, we stayed and watched the practice film. And whatever it took, and everybody just said, we knew that was part of the routine.
Yep.
So it was 7 days a week, and every night till 8, 9, 9:30, whatever it took. And then Friday night after the game, we got together. If we lost the game, we still got together.
Yeah.
And we had a good time with each other.
Coach Mike Noakes, and the one thing I always forget, or always will remember what you say, is practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. So that means you could take 500 swings that are horrible, and you're still practicing something wrong. But even though you think you're practicing, and I'll always forget to remember that. That's one of the greatest sayings ever.
Well, I believe in that because I believe it's important to take a lot of repetitions because baseball is a sport of repetitions, doing something over and over, but you need to do it correctly or it's not a necessarily positive thing.
Sure. We're talking with Tim Simons and Mike Noakes. And another big question, I got a lot of questions coming in. They want to know the difference of coaching back then with parents to now. Because back then we couldn't get a hold of you. If little Johnny wasn't playing right field and starting, we're not emailing, we're not calling Mike on the cell phone or Tim Simons. You're calling the school, but about a 1% chance you're going to return that call. How would you handle today's parents? And I know Matt's listening.
Well, they're still coached. They've still.
I know,
still
but I'm just.
The
I
game,
know, but
really.
It's a changing world.
Yeah.
And you don't see some of these young parent coaches don't know how to handle maybe some of the parents. What would you tell some of these young coaches? I guess it's a better question.
Well, I would tell them it's part of your job, so just expect it. And nowadays it's more prevalent, of course. But you know, I had parents complain. Usually, it's playing time with their child, you know, and but we had some of that in the old days, but no, not as much as they do nowadays because it's easier access. but it's part of the job. And you listen, and then you tell them why you made your decision, and you've got to call them like you see them, like a baseball umpire would say, and we make our decision, and it's what we made, and here's why. And but I mean, it is prevalent now, but I don't let it get me down. I expect it.
Coach Noakes, how would you handle? Well, I pretty much know, but how would you handle it?
Well, baseball rosters aren't as big as football rosters, so there's not quite as many potential problems. I honestly don't know exactly how I would handle it, because I don't have to. All I know is one time one of my players was on third base, and his father had been yelling up in the stands. And I called him over in a timeout situation. I said, if I ever hear one more word out of your dad, you're never going to play again.
I love that.
Yeah.
Naturally, can't do that in this day and age.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you win, you don't have as many questions and problems about that.
And we won a lot of games back then, so
sure
we didn't have
did.
That issue.
Sure you did. I had basically a father that was that dad that was at every game, every contest. I have three brothers, and he was very vocal. And I'll never forget, I played basketball. My youngest brother, Brett, and I were just a grade apart. I was a junior. He was a sophomore. I was a senior. He was a junior. And my dad would be at the games, and he'd be hollering at the coach, like, let the two Johnson brothers play together. You know, the coach Parts. Coach
and you're
Parts,
embarrassed, I'm sure.
I was. And Coach Parts, same thing. He came to me at halftime and said, look, you either call your dad off, or it's going to affect you in your playing time. I can't have your dad telling me how to make up my rosters. And you got any ideas of how we can stop this? I go, I've got one idea, and it's the only thing that's going to work. And let's keep in mind, Coach Noakes, not to brag, but I was the best player, and my younger brother was the second best player, but he was like the sixth man, and his coach believed he'll come in later in the game. And I looked at him, and I said, flat, I said, Coach, you want him to go away, you got to play my brother. And second half start, he put him in, and I looked at him. We won the game, and I looked at Coach afterwards. He was a great man, Coach Forrest Parts. And Coach Parts looked at me, and he said, boy, best advice I've ever got. I said, what are you waiting for? So sometimes those crazy parents, I guess I'm going to get to this point with a question. And Coach Simons, back in, let's say, the 70s at Clovis Cougar football, you won a lot of games, a lot of championships. I'm guessing when you got an opportunity to step into a newer situation, and let's call it a new era, Clovis North Bronco football, you became the head coach. You basically opened up the school and athletics and everything else. Did you notice a difference from your Clovis championship days to developing a champion at Clovis North, or was it the same?
As far as a parent involvement?
Yeah, parent and player interaction to the coach. When I grew up, my dad would basically, by the way, would say, you probably deserved it. I mean, I got a lot of that at home. Nowadays, it's a whole opposite deal. The parent seems to think that their kid is always right. Did you notice any of that parent difference as you moved into Clovis North?
Well, I've been asked that question a lot, too. But to tell you the truth, for me, the players don't seem that much different. I mean, I really enjoy high school athletes, and I care about them, and they don't seem that much different. Parents, yeah, they're more involved. They can get hold of you easier, for starters.
Yeah.
And but I don't see that much different between the player of 1976 and the one of today.
And Coach Noakes, did the. Seem to me, once again, I go back because I'm well into my 50s now, so I can remember back my early days. It seems like the administration placates a little more to the parents, too. That I remember starting out, and I remember a vice principal saying, well, talk to the coach. He'll tell you. But now it's more or less they have a little bit different view on how they have to get to the coach. I don't know if it's necessarily good or bad, but you're legendary at Bullard. You seem to be I don't want to use the word tyrant, but it was your way or the highway, and everybody pretty much left you alone?
Well, I was fortunate, but I honestly never, ever had a problem.
They were afraid that you intimidated people.
Well, like parents just didn't
do
that as much then.
Yeah.
And I haven't been a head coach for 17 years. That's a long time now. And naturally, things have evolved. They can get hold of you easier and things like that.
One thing I learned about Mike Noakes was he was also our football coach. When he was out there, the nicest, funnest guy ever. He was with Coach Rob, Dan Robinson, who was one of the meanest coach. And if Robbo's listening, it's surprising we're still around because he was that mean with a knob and all. But Coach Noakes was so nice. But when baseball season came around, he's not that nice anymore. He was a competitor, and if you don't practice 100%, he's on you. And we love that about you because you turned us into a winning program back, I think, when 1977. That's when we started that old dynasty deal. But we learned right from the get-go that you better be 100% focused even in practice, and we learned right from the get-go.
Well, the fun is in the winning. The fun was in the winning, and you guys were winning as they were in Clovis and Clovis North and all your stops, Fresno City College, Fresno State. Coach Simons, now, were you a player's coach, or was there such a thing back then? It just was natural that you were the leader. But how did you handle your relationships with the student athlete? Did you let them in a little bit, or were they just, did they stay away?
Well, that's a good question because I do consciously. I'm still coaching, by the way. Now I'm coaching the lower level football program over there at Clovis North. But I think once practice begins, for me, you teach and you demand those details that all football coaches think are important, and you sell the players on that as well, and that's till the practice ends. That's what you're doing. But I like to think off the field, maybe during the school day or some other time, I can talk to the player about other things. And maybe he's a baseball fan. Who is he like in the World Series this year?
Yeah.
Or how his grades are. Nowadays, of course, you can access a student's grades immediately. How are you doing in that math class? So I like to be able to relate with the players off the field in other areas besides football. I think it helps me get through to them because once a football practice starts, it's football, period. Every detail matters. You know that. And you've got to sell the players on that as well.
Right, right.
Coach Mike?
I think it's important that when you're not actually coaching, that you have sort of a personal relationship with them and they know that you're interested in them beside just being a good baseball player or football player.
Well, I'll give you this is for you too, Nick. One of the, and I'm a guy that follows from the old school to new school to all in between. I'm just a avid reader and go to the clinics and get ideas from everyone. And I got something that touched me personally from you and a story that you told about Coach Noakes when you were a young baseball player and you got a phone call.
You want me to say it?
Yeah, and I'd like for you to relay that story about Coach Noakes.
I'll never forget it, Coach, and I know you probably don't remember. We were having a game at Bullard, and Rex hit a walk-off bomb, hit one all the way to the football field about 500 feet, and everyone's going nuts. We won the game. But I was a quiet 3-for-3 that day. And, it's one of those, I had a pretty good game. I felt good. He calls me at home that night. Hey, Coach, Mike Noakes is on the phone. I go, oh, God, this can't be good. I'm thinking he's going to yell at me. Hey, I just want to let you know. I didn't have time today to tell you, but I want to thank you for your great game today. I didn't get a chance to talk with you after the game. And I felt like a million bucks. Coach Noakes called me at home, and that made my whole high school career, I'm telling you right now. So thank you.
That's an emotional moment because as all of us as coaches and leaders of young kids, I mean, the impact that you two have made on so many young lives. And my comment to Coach Simons is, and a personal note to me, was that I remember many times bumping into Coach Simons. For those who don't know, his grandson was same era age group as my son, and so I got to be at a lot of soccer matches and hang out, and it was always tough because as a high school football coach, you go to those soccer matches on a Saturday, and you might have been coming off of a thorough butt whooping the night before, but you know the wife, you got to get out, you got to support, and you got to go do your thing at the soccer match. And those little moments, little vignettes, I would call them, of just getting a chance to get calmed down and to hear your soothing voice about the world of football and life in general spoke volumes to me. But the thing that gets me more than anything else is that your the access I had, I remember, never forget, coming to Clovis North to talk to you about a little bit of football. And you've got to go through a secretary to get to the office. It's like going to the USC athletic department at Clovis North. And he brought me back, and I sat back in his office. By the way, beautiful, sir, beautiful. And at some point, I was nervous as all get out, too. But Coach asked me, well, basically, go to the board. Tell me about what how you would do that. And I was so nervous. And I've been on in front of college coaches, NFL coaches, because as a player, they get you up to the board to do your thing. I'd never felt so nervous. And when I left that room, I thought to myself, when I retire, when I call it quits, whenever that day is, I want to at least have enough, have left enough out there to where I'll be talking to some young kid, and some young kid will leave that room thinking, man, that guy was like the guru that I just was in a meeting with. You made me feel so special, so welcome. And for that, I thank you, Coach Simons, because I'm not the only one. Like I said, a lot of us coaches, we really, in football, we really look up to you. High school, junior college, Division I Fresno State football coaching, and still getting after it at Clovis North, coaching the young kids over there. I think he's the greatest ambassador that I don't think, and that's what got us to this point in the show. We have the two greatest ambassadors for our youth right here in our own valley. We need to start bringing Coach Noakes and Coach Simons back to the forefront for those youngsters that forgot what they were all about growing up in this game.
Well, you know, in the baseball room, when you have a field named after you, Mike Noakes Field, you know you're pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty good. And going back, that field, you know, Jim Chandrini's on the tractor, and that's a beautiful stadium still. And you got to be proud of that. When you go over there and you see what everyone's done going to Buller High School, it's awesome.
Oh, it's fabulous for me, and I'm most grateful for all the wonderful players and assistant coaches that I've had that just made my life really
positive. Well, we do know Tim Simons is still coaching. We know that Coach Mike is going to come back and help out with the Buller Knights, and Tom Donald's there. We got Bobby Waits. Aaron Weimer's got a great staff. How excited are you to be back there just having fun out there?
Well, I've always loved it. Going back to Bullard and being around the Bullard community, so it's going to be a really fun thing, and hopefully I can be useful in
some way,
you know.
With you and Tom Donald with 18,000 wins between you, I think the kids are going to get a big kick out of some of the stories because they're going to look up Mike Noakes Field. That's Mike Noakes right here. They have no idea what they're getting into. And how are these young guys at Bullard? What I hear, they love you already.
Well, they're all receptive, you know, to coaching, and just they're all good guys, and that's I like to be around nice young people, and I like the camaraderie of being around a coaching staff.
Have you got over those, hey, get over here, yet? Any one of those yet?
Not yet. We're cranking it up, though, so.
Good. There's nothing like it. When he points the finger, come here. Because one thing we learned back in the day, and I watch a lot of high school baseball, and I've never seen so many kids take called third strikes anymore. It's like the thing to do. They take a called third, and they walk to the dugout like it's no big deal. If we ever took a called third, we got the finger, come here. What, you know, and so we learned the best way to handle when you get the two strikes is don't get the two strikes. Go up and be aggressive. And I see so many kids, it just drives me nuts. He just took a called third. He's guessing, apparently. Oh, I thought it was going to be a curveball with two strikes. Coach, it drives me nuts.
He talks about, Nick Papagnik talks about this all the time, Coach, about you need to look for this pitch. That's it. You let your guys go up and swing the bat and let's go attack? Or what's the science behind, like, one of the great hitters at Buchanan was struggling a bit a couple of years ago. And you were telling me, well, they told him he can't touch, He can only.
Oh, that was Brock Jones.
He only has to wait on fastball.
He wasn't happy about
that. Yeah, he can't touch curveballs. He can't touch that. Just wait on fastball. And it was causing him to go into a major funk.
That was Aaron Judge at Fresno State.
I just believe that the simpler that you can keep things, the better. Because, you know, like Yogi Berra said, 90% of hitting is half mental. And you must have a positive attitude when you go to the plate. And the simpler that you can keep things, I think the better. I think like to think of myself when I was playing, I don't know, you know, if I could look for just one certain pitch and then lay off a pitch, if it a good pitch, if I didn't get the pitch I was looking for, or looking in a certain zone for a pitch and then not swinging if that pitch wasn't in that zone. You have to be a really experienced player. The game has to really slow down for you to do that. And I think sometimes we get analysis by paralysis, or paralysis by analysis, by trying to get things too complicated. So the simpler, the better. See ball, hit ball. That's a little too simplified.
That's how I've always been. He throws you a strike, you're going to attack it.
But that's true in all sports, though. Don't we want to let them play fast, keep it kind of simple, and let's go?
Yeah,
that's
I think
what you want to achieve.
Yeah. Now, so, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, with Tim Simons, how much has the offensive changed since back in the Clovis Cougar days where you won 200? He's second, by the way, on the list of all time, 274 wins. Has it changed a lot, or is it still got to run the ball between the tackles and you got to be able to run the ball?
Well, football's evolved a lot now. Some things are the same, of course, block and tackle and play hard, and all those things are always have been, are still there. But, you know, my first year as example, my first year as a head coach at Clovis High, we were a wishbone team. And I went back to visit the University of Alabama where Bear Bryant was a head coach. Three different springs. I got to go. Jim Sweeney connected me with them. Were obviously a tremendous learning experience for me, and they were a great, pure wishbone team, so that's what we became. Well, that offense is not, I don't use that offense anymore.
Yeah.
We got away from that ourselves 1984 when the high school rules changed about blocking below the waist on the perimeter. That hurt that offense pretty badly. But the offenses have evolved. Like this year, I coached at Clovis North. George Petrasans is our offensive coordinator. So I ran George's offense, which was fine. I loved it, had fun. I enjoy learning something new. I mean, some of the things are still the same. You only have, can only execute so many blocking schemes. So I made sure, you know, we kept it to a minimum that we could execute. Some things are the same, but much of it is greatly different. And I think it's fun and exciting to learn these new different ways to do things. And, of course, the NFL has even, you know, changed dramatically. We're going to watch these playoff games coming up. I mean, the quarterbacks aren't under center very often anymore, even in the NFL.
Yeah.
So things have changed, but I think it's exciting, but it
even
has
changed.
Even
in the red zone, they're not under center. You know, that,
right.
Which drives me nuts. We're talking with Tim Simons and Mike Noakes. And, of course, nowadays you got soft mommy and daddies, football, concussions that you can't hit anymore. Let's just play video games and stay home, and we'll make gingerbread boys and all that stuff. What has football changed that much? Is it? I mean, I know we're getting bigger, faster, stronger, and I think at football nowadays is safer than ever.
Well, here's the deal on that. I think it is. But we did have to, football did have to change. When I played high school football, you tackle with your shoulder around the legs. That's where you tackle now. We've come all the way back to that.
Yeah.
But for what, when I was a student coach at Fresno State, it was, you know, you put your face mask right in the chest. That's how you tackled.
Yeah.
Well, that was not a good idea. We're back to tackling with our shoulders around the legs, you know.
Yeah.
Thought that game is safer, and Matt, of course, knows this. So it's evolved, but we do have less kids after football now. We still have plenty, but not as many as we used to have. There's no question about that. But I think the game is safer, and the rules are protecting players who aren't looking at the tackler, you know. I think those are good rules. I think for the NFL, too. So it's changed, but I think it's better than ever.
Yep.
Yeah, they certainly have taken care of the business model for National Football League, and that is who really pays the bills, who brings the people to the games. It's the playmakers, specifically the quarterback. The quarterback in Mike Noakes and Tim Simon's day and our day, Nick, was, I remember, full body suplex on Terry Bradshaw, lift him, throw him down. I mean, and the guy, he didn't get a penalty, I mean, let alone not front out of the game. So certainly we have to take care of the quarterbacks. I just think sometimes as an old defensive player, there's been a little bit of an overreaction. Any business model that owns a Monday, a Sunday, and now Thursdays, that's a pretty powerful business. I think because of overreaction based on some party, whether it's a political party or not, who knows, I think they overreacted because now, as a defensive player, I see my kids and I see it on TV and you see it in the National Football League. Is he trying to tackle that? He doesn't really know because he doesn't want to get flagged. So he's coming in hot and then he realizes I got to pull off. Next thing you know, the guy breaks a tackle. He goes and scores. I think they've warped the defensive player's mind. And as a defensive player, I don't think that's right. And Coach Simons, as you grew up and as you coached, were you more of an offensive or a defensive guy?
You know, I always thought I was both. I really did.
Okay.
Last time I was as an assistant coach in college, I was always on the offensive side of the ball for Fresno State and Fresno City College. But there were times like 1974 was the last time I was a high school assistant coach, and Jim Fugman was our head coach. It was the first year of LaMonica Stadium, and I was a defensive coach. And I thought I was really into defense, you know, knowing some new stuff about defense. We're in the split four defense, and it was pretty cool and pretty different. Got it from Notre Dame at a clinic. But, you know, and then when I became a head coach, I always thought that I should know everything about the offense and the defense.
Right.
So that's always was my approach.
Well, my cousin Jerry DeBudio wants to say hi to you. He played for you back in the early 70s.
Yep,
Jerry,
he did.
Yeah, defensive line, right?
That's when I was an assistant coach.
Yeah. He was trying to tell me he was pretty good, but I got it. Don't give him a big head. Hey, Coach Knowles, let me ask you, because if any sport, I think, I don't know, back in the day, football, I don't know if they could compete with players now. They're so much bigger, faster, stronger. But baseball, you could look back, if you can hit and throw it, back in those days with those great teams, could they compete nowadays?
Absolutely, because you and those guys and them guys were good players.
They
were great athletes, and good players maybe didn't lift weights the way they do now. Maybe there wasn't as much personal having your own batting instructor and different
And we all played
like
other
that.
Sports.
And you played... I thought the best combination was football and baseball, but absolutely could compete in today's
I think that's a brilliant, brilliant question and observation, Nick. I think that baseball might be the only sport, because we argue all the time, oh, no, Wilt Chamberlain was clearly better than Shaquille O'Neal, or did you see Jim Brown run the football? That's way better than Barry Sanders. But in football, genetics and the growth and the evolution of the human body has created a bigger, faster. I mean, no one will argue that. Over time, the human race has gotten larger. But in baseball, like you said, if you can throw a ball, which everyone's been able to throw a ball since the beginning of time, and if you were that guy, you know, genetically gifted arm, and hitting a baseball, it's not like the pitching has slowed down. Bob Gibson threw it as hard or harder than anyone I've seen. What do you think, Coach Tim Simons? Is baseball a sport? You're a baseball guy, too. The parallels are pretty much the same from generation after generation, where in football you're now looking at a 320-pound on average offensive line, when if you were 250 pounds when I was growing up, you were the biggest man on the planet. What do you think?
Well, you're right. Football, people are bigger, and it shows in football. Now, I'm just a baseball fan, but it seems to me there's more pitchers throwing the ball harder nowadays, yeah. But maybe they chart it more often or something. But, you know, I'm a St. Louis Cardinal baseball fan.
What? No. No.
Yes.
And I got because Mike knows our Fresno Cardinals was the farm team that was in Fresno in those okay. days. And yeah. so we would go to – I went to hundreds of those games, it seems like. And so I became a Cardinal fan ever since. But at any rate, you know, we have a relief pitcher on our team named Hicks. He throws 104 miles an hour now. Well, I don't think – doesn't seem to me we used to have guys that could throw that hard, you know, or that many of them anyway.
Then he gets hurt, though. Now these guys are
– He's like hurt
Hicks.
Now.
Yeah, they some of those big 6'5" guys that are throwing 100, they don't last long. And you know, or what Greg Maddux – Bobby Jones nowadays, they would still be effective, right, Coach? I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, because they know how to pitch also and get people out. But there's a huge difference between amateur baseball and now professional baseball, particularly in the big leagues. When you look at films from back in the 70s or 80s, you see the difference in body structure and how these guys are buffed and built more because they don't have to work in the off season.
Yeah.
You know, they basically work out all year long and have their own trainers and things when they come to spring training. They're not ready just to get in shape. They already are in shape. Some of them play year round in Latin America, things like that. And most of them are physically stronger than naturally amateur players. And you see the average size of a pitching staff. Sometimes the shortest guy on the pitching staff is 6'2 or something. These guys average 6'4, 6'5, and they are developed from the time they're.
And you look at their back in the day, there was no pitch count. Gaylord Perry, they're throwing 187 pitches. Like my Sunday baseball. And if you're in the bullpen, you feel like, oh, I'm demoted to the bullpen. I might never pitch again. Nowadays, I want you to pitch to one guy.
They're specialists.
So it is definitely changing. Look, some of the old film, there was a fastball, curveball. I think nowadays with the splitty and the changeup and all that, it's got to be amazing to try to hit some of those guys. Like Tim Simons was saying, throwing 104.
I don't know how they do it.
Well, this question goes to both of the coaches. Coach Mike Noakes, Tim Simons, but the transfer of athletes, which has finally kind of hit our valley. I always felt like this town was always, I've been here for so many years now, but we're always years behind other markets, let's say Southern California, where it's been going on for a while. But it seems like the movement of student athletes is a lot more prevalent. And in the Clovis Unified, even, where you never saw an athlete leave one school to go a part of another school in Clovis Unified. Are you for that? What's your take? Both you coaches
Great
have been
question.
Around. What's your take on the transfer of student athletes all over now?
For me, it's bothersome because I'm old school and a dinosaur, and I'm used to players playing at the school in their own attendance area.
Yeah.
Growing up in that area, going through elementary, middle school, getting to high school, everybody wanting to play for Clovis football or Bullard baseball or whatever. People wanted to do that. You did from the time you were playing in Little League.
Couldn't wait.
And to me, it's disturbing that people can transfer if they're not happy in their current situation. When you were going to high school, if you weren't good enough to start on the team, okay, you stayed there and played on the team anyway.
Worked harder.
Yeah.
So I just don't particularly care for that trend, but it's the new paradigm. And if you're a coach now, you have to work to keep your players at your school.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're lucky, you get some transfers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Some coaches maybe are more aggressive about getting transfers. I don't know if that's a fact. But I just like the old school way of you going to your own school.
Yeah, it just seems like some parents feel like their kid should be playing in Alabama. How am I going to get my kid a scholarship? Because, you know, financing, maybe they can't afford a college scholarship, and someone has it in their ear. You know, it's little Johnny, if he goes to that school over there, more colleges are going to look at him. He could play at the next level. When we all know, since Jim Thorpe went to high school, it's less than 1% you're going to play at the next level. I don't care how you look at it, but parents still will move them around. And Coach Tim, it's got to, but no one transferred out of Clovis back in the day, right?
I don't recall any.
He was thinking, wait.
Yeah, well, no one ever transferred out of Bullard either. It's just how it was.
Well, football's more of a football, basketball. And of course, baseball's in it too. But football gets the movement more than any sport in high school, in California, clearly.
I think another thing that leads to this, particularly basketball, these guys that are really good play all summer long.
Yeah.
AAU teams or whatever they call them. They make friendships with each other. Then maybe they decide they're all going to go to school with their friends, and they're more liable to leave their situation and go somewhere.
Well, let's take a quick break. Let's bring that back up after the break. We'll take a quick break. We'll do one more quick segment. I know you guys both have to go. So Tim Simons, Mike Noakes in the house here at Fashion Furniture. You're listening to The Rise Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Here comes Shazari, has the ball in. At the buzzer, he throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76-all, Shazari flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Shazari goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Rise Show here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone River Park, the greatest furniture store here in the 940 ESPN studios. It's the Pag Meter. Maddie Jane, between commercials, Tim Simons, Mike Noakes, just signing autographs left and right in here. Two legends in the house. It's great to have them here. Matt, this is a treat for me.
It really is. I was looking at Coach Simons thinking, how much fun was that when you were recruiting for Fresno State into the world of high school athletes, getting a chance to – I can't think of a better recruiter than a guy who's been a long-time high school football coach, and then he gets up and he's coaching at Fresno State, and you get to go out on the recruiting trail. That probably was really an enlightening experience for you, wouldn't you say, Coach?
Well, it was enlightening, but, you know, it was also enjoyable.
Yeah.
Some people said you're not going to like the recruiting part of that job. Well, it turns out I really loved it, going around at different schools. And by the way, I didn't just worry about the one school that had a bunch of guys. I went to every school in my area, or I contacted them. Like Logan Mankins from Mariposa High. I mean, they don't have that many guys coming out of there, Division I players, but he obviously
you helped recruit Logan Mankins.
Yep, I did.
Okay, so this is great. So you were just doing your map, thinking of your territory that you were
exactly
assigned. And so you just stumbled in, or you heard about a guy?
No, they never told me they had a guy. So I said, well, I've got to go there. It's part of my area. I was up at Sierra, and so I'll go over to Mariposa next. And then I went in there, and they said, you know, we got a guy, but he doesn't have the grades.
Yeah.
But you might want to look at him. So we had Prop 48 at Fresno State then. Mm-hmm. So we could – he wasn't – I don't believe he was planning on going to college. He was a rodeo guy. And he had three-sport athlete, MVP in the league in baseball, football, and basketball. And that's how I sold Pat. One of the reasons I sold – way I sold Pat on him, I said, Pat Hill, this guy is an athlete, man. We get him in weight room and develop him, he'll be a ball player, I believe. So we – took him in as a Prop 48. But at any rate, that's how the Logan Mankins
story. So when you saw Logan, though, on that campus at Mariposa, did it strike you, well, good, you could see the frame?
Whoop. He shook my hand, yeah. And it was a giant hand. And he had never been in a weight room. He's a three-sport athlete and worked on the ranch. But you could just see this frame, and I knew he's an athlete.
Yeah. What's he doing now? Do you know?
I believe he has he's retired from the NFL, as you surely know. And then he has a ranch back east somewhere. Lives on a big ranch.
All because of Tim Simons. How about that? If not, he's probably got a bad hip from rodeo.
A natural recruiter, and most college coaches, they progress through. They've all coached in high school pretty much. But it just seemed to me when Coach Simons came to Edison High School, this guy knows what he's looking for, what he's looking at, and what he imagines a high school kid to look like. I really enjoyed it because, by the way, you were the last group because after you left and Pat Hill was gone, there was some of the worst recruiting going on at Fresno State where it was – I'm glad you said that because until Coach Tedford came back, who before the ink had actually – he was already visiting the high school I was at, getting out. Didn't even have a business card yet. He gave me something he wrote up on his internet and made a little makeshift card. But when that other group took over Fresno State, you know the stories. Can you talk about all the time? Coach DeRuiter didn't even know – what do you mean? That guy's – he would go to Fresno State, but now he's thinking Boise State. No one's ever talked to him. It's amazing to me how we lose sight of the fact of what you just said, Coach. This is my territory. I'm going to hit every school. I am not going to leave any stone unturned. I'm going to do my job.
Because you never know.
I'm not going to rely on some recruiting service that told me, you got to go see this guy. I'm going to find, and you found Logan Mankins.
Wow.
I think the field's name, Logan Mankins Field out there at Fresno State. It worked out pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, at one point I had, there were seven guys playing in the NFL that had been from my recruiting area here that played at Fresno State.
Yeah.
Played for us with the Bulldogs and went on and played in the NFL.
Yeah.
There are plenty of ball players in this valley, and they don't all just congregate in one high school. They can be at any one of the
schools.
Right. I had over 100 schools in my area, all the way up to Lodi.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. We're talking with Tim Simons and Mike Noakes and Coach Tenaya Park legend Mike Ryan says hi. So you want to make sure you get that out there. But how would you handle back in the day, you know, we mentioned summer ball for baseball. And little Johnny's going to go play for the El Toritos All-Star team. And he comes back and is like, well, Coach told me to do this to my grip. How do you handle summer ball anymore if you were coaching nowadays? We didn't have that back in the day.
Well, as I say, travel teams and travel baseball, I think, have changed a paradigm of...
Good or bad?
Well, I love guys to play baseball, and you get better by playing in games. And if they're going to play in games, I think it's an important part of their development. Some of them they evaluate themselves higher than maybe really are as players because somebody wants, they can pay to play on a summer team and people say how good they are and then they come back and they're not quite as successful as they think they ought to be. So I think it gives a different impression.
And how do you handle, go ahead, I'm sorry,
no,
finish your...
How do I handle?
Go ahead, Nick.
Well, I was going to say fall ball now because also it just seems like there's so many... You know, bullets in that gun. Oh, you know, my arm. I've always believed, because I quarterback during the fall, played baseball, you take that time off and you get a little extra giddy up on that throwing. I just feel like you need that time off, but fall ball is getting more and more. It just seems like they're playing through Christmas almost. What's your feelings on fall ball?
Well, they are, and then if you're trying to have fall ball, half the team isn't there for practice because they're off playing with other teams. Then they come back and they're supposed to play on your team and they have a sore arm from playing on a travel team. You just don't seem to get everybody together at the same time.
That would drive me nuts.
Just this weekend, you know, Bullard's starting baseball practice, but some guy's going to be in Arizona playing for a team, so he's not going to be, you know, practicing with the team.
I can't imagine back in the day saying, Coach, I'm going to be in Arizona this next 2 weeks, but playing for the, you know, the Aggronauts. He would say, excuse me? It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Definitely. He's thinking right now.
Coach Simons, multi-sport athletes. What's your feel on that?
I have strong feelings about that, Matt. I believe in the multi-sport athlete. Logan Mankins is a great example.
Yes.
That's why he was such an attractive prospect for us, because his football, you know, the film, we kind of joked about it later, looked like the game films were taken from the top of a pickup truck. You know, you couldn't. I'm kind of kidding on that. But, you know, he was that good of an all-around athlete. That showed us the Fresno State potential. When I would bring a recruit to Pat Hill, he would always say, well, what other sports does he play?
Yeah.
And if I said, no other sports?
Yeah.
Well, in those days, that would have been a red flag. I mean, he's not a good enough athlete to play another sport in high school.
That's right.
So I know that's changed now, because so many guys are going to do their sport year-round. I'm more a believer in he'd be better off going off the track team, the baseball team, wrestling, playing basketball, soccer. Those are great activities to develop the body, for one thing. Hear another coach's voice for another. So I'm have pretty strong opinion about that.
And not get sloppy in the classroom. They still have that carrot of you've got to be academically
exactly.
sound
That's another
to
good
continue
point.
To play in the sport outside of your chosen sport that you think is number one.
And I know Coach Noakes loves the multi-sport athletes.
Oh, yeah. He just said baseball, football. And I know Coach,
to me, that's the best.
Yeah. Coach Cliff Rhode always would catch, sequester me on the campus and say, you know, baseball, you move from first to second. That he'd give me that hip action thing. And in football, that's how you move out of a break to go. And he'd always try to parallel baseball and football in a way that not a lot of us football guys can visualize. He certainly can. I know you can, Coach Noakes, because you feel strongly about football. Why is that? You think that the aggression in football helps the baseball player?
I think it helps build toughness.
Toughness, yeah.
Being able to bounce back, be able to get hurt and bounce back.
Right.
Here's what I
always
get,
like
Coach.
Tough guys.
Yeah.
This is what I get from other coaches, and no names involved, but Tim Simons wants to play basketball after football. And the coach will go, yeah, go play basketball all you want. That's great, but don't expect to start for me. So all of a sudden, like, oh, well, that changes everything. Yeah, go play if you want, but when you come back to us with summer ball and all the other things we got going on, if you're not playing another sport, you're not starting for me. That's what kids get. And so parents go, Johnny, you're going to have to play baseball or something all year round, because they put so much pressure on some of these kids anymore, and it drives me nuts. But if you're a superstar, you can get away with it. If you're not a superstar, they're going to work you. And how do you handle those parents? What do you tell those parents? Go talk to the AD and the principal. That's what I tell them.
I've never had to deal with that situation.
Yeah, we.
But it happens all the time nowadays.
It does. But Coach Simons would tell you, because he's still actively is now. Coach Noakes is back, but he's in an administrative office. He has on campus things he does. He's been doing it for a long time. A lot of times, the parents, to me, the narrative comes back that coach said such and such, and when you add it all up at the end of the day, I got that my other school, now the school I'm at now. Well, no, basketball coach doesn't allow anybody to play football. What? No. And then when you break it down and get to know the coach, well, that's never what I've said. But the player being a little apprehensive and maybe he's getting a different messaging at home comes up with this concocted story because football's not for everyone. I get it. Well, no, my coach doesn't want me to. No, that's not it. You don't want to do it. And a lot of times you get mixed up with that. My last question for Coach Tim Simons, the legendary football coach and leader of our Valley, is the greatest football player, and I've seen several in my lifetime as a player coach. I always go back to sitting with Tim McDonald on a sideline watching you guys play. I just arrived in town. It was years ago. And you had a quarterback, and see if you just throw the name right out for us. You had your starting quarterback, who was also one of the most rugged defensive D-line killers I've ever seen. And then, of course, he went on and played professional football for the Dallas Cowboys and been around with others. Went to Fresno State. You had a starting quarterback who was also your standout defensive football player, Jim. What's the name of the...
You're talking about Todd Critchison?
Went out and played fullback and everything in the NFL. Was
Tyler Klutz.
Tyler Klutz.
Okay, that's right.
I was at Fresno State by the time Tyler played it. Clovis High. In fact, I recruited him to come to Fresno State.
Okay, so Clovis High had Tyler Klutz. That was the most astonishing thing I'd see. Is like, wait a minute, get this straight. The starting quarterback at Clovis High is getting cut loose on the defensive line and just killing people. And I'm thinking, that might be the toughest guy I've ever seen on my planet. Anybody, because you played the game at quarterback. And that's a good deal. But I can't visualize you taking people apart on the defensive line, Nick Papagni.
Well, we did beat Tim Simons' team back in the day. So that was good. At La Monica Stadium, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, but at 77 in Ratcliffe, we beat your team.
Well, because it was a bad call. But anyway, we didn't have instant replay back then.
But anyway, I used Tyler Klutz as an example. Give me your favorite, if you could. I know you have several. Your favorite all-purpose, all-everything athlete that you ever coached in high school.
That's a tough question, Matt, but since you mentioned the versatile quarterback guy, in 1990 I had an all-league linebacker, Jason Sassoya.
Yes.
Tough guy, tremendous linebacker. His senior year we didn't think we had a quarterback, and he'd always, when he could, jump in there and play scout team quarterback just for fun when he was a junior. We said, you know, Sassoyev can throw a ball pretty good. Maybe we got to make him our quarterback. We did. We ended up a Valley Championship team, nationally ranked team. He was a tremendous quarterback. And once in a while, he threw an interception. The guy that intercepted the ball paid the price because he tackled him.
Yeah.
And he was a tremendous competitor. We won every game his senior year with him as a quarterback.
Wow.
That would be a guy that comes to mind.
Yes.
Is the kind of a guy you're asking about.
How about you, Coach?
Well, I was going to say player and team. The people want
to
know.
I was going to say before that, you mentioned a guy who I absolutely think might be the best high school athlete and player in multiple sports that I have observed in Fresno is Tim McDonald.
Yeah.
I was a scorekeeper in basketball. He was a great high school basketball player, could jump over, you know, the dunk and everything else. And he was a leader, a competitor. And then in football, I think he was a quarterback. He'd run around and make something happen, you know, and then, of course, being a tremendous defensive player. But just for a physical stud athlete, he may have been the best that I've seen.
By the
I'm
way,
old school. I don't know him.
The Nyberg Award winner, academically on the money.
Yeah, he's a
recruited by
he's
Stanford.
A legend,
and everything,
you know, in Fresno sports.
And still married to the same woman that he met in elementary school.
And his son TJ would have been played for the Angels if he would have played baseball. He was that good of a sport or athlete, but he wanted to play football.
Yeah,
that's an athlete. But they want to know some of the great Bullard baseball teams. I know. So Saturday night you're going to be at the Fresno City Rams dinner, right?
With you?
Yes. I'm excited because it's like a baseball. It's the start of baseball season. I'll have Ron Scott on tomorrow. It's a lot of fun. But give me some. Come on. You know that 77 team was the best, but was there anybody close to that?
I've been lucky to have a lot of great teams, and naturally I get pressure from you and guys on that team that they're the best ever because you won the most games, 31, 1-1 or whatever. But the trouble is when I start talking about great teams and if I leave out one, then it's not good for me.
Well, you mentioned the best. We'll just leave it right there. Guys, this is – go ahead, keep going.
I'm just saying 1980 was a great team and had a lot of league champions. And
15,
know, Valley,
by the way.
Yeah. Valley Championship teams.
By the way.
We're all
five valleys for Coach Simons.
You both have won five.
Yeah. Five Valley Championships?
Yeah. 708 wins.
Yeah.
Second of all time. You're both second of all time on the win list. In the house today. This is great. I mean, this has been a great
day. Say the 88-89 team, 93 team. I mean, they were.
See what you started? I didn't go there with Coach Simons. That's so hard. I just wanted to get the name. He pulled out a name.
No, because he'll get 28 emails.
Stud athlete.
He didn't say our team.
Well, I will.
Yeah. Well, I'll see you Saturday night. I'm excited. Fresno City Rams dinner. And, Matt, you better be there.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the best nights. Coach, if you're not doing anything, you better be there.
Okay, yeah, I've been to those before. Yeah, they're great.
They're great.
Tony Gaviglia does a tremendous job there.
Yeah. Well, this is Ron Scott baseball.
Oh, there's baseball one. I've been to Tony's football one, yes.
Tony will be at City College. Yeah.
He'll still be there.
There'll be 1,000 people, and you'll know everyone, Tim. You won't even have time to even sit down at your table. You'll be like running for mayor, you know? Well, guys, it's been great. Tim Simons in the house, legendary Mike Noakes. This has been great for us, and we had to do it again. This should be an annual deal, right, Coach?
Yeah, guys? How about just weekly? Let's just make it's a four-way show that we're going to start.
A little trivia for you.
Yes.
Mike and I have been close personal friends since all our adult lives, so you may not have known that. As of right up today, we still are.
So you're eating dinner, you're going out all the time?
Yeah, not 2 weeks ago.
You guys ever get in any competitions between each other? Maybe a little fishing, bowling, golf?
I don't recall that. No.
Where you turn into that spirit.
We were both trying to play golf at one time. But
that's right. That's right.
Oh, this is great. Great stuff. Clovis, legendary. Bullard, legendary. And those are two of the greatest alumni, by the way. I'm glad they play each other in football and, of course, baseball and everything like that.
But we're alumni of another great school, Fresno High.
There you go. Back in the day, the Warriors.
Coach Simons also has, I think, started a real top-shelf athletic program, helped be a part of the growth of Clovis North.
And, of course, Mike Noakes coming back at Bullard. I'm excited. Throwing BP out there. It's going to be fun to bring it back.
Oh, yeah.
I want to come back out and help, too. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And at their dinner's coming up on February the 8th, their Hall of Fame dinner. So I'll see you there as well. Guys, we're going to take a break, and thanks for hanging out with us today. Tim Simons and Mike Noakes.
Yeah.
Yes. Great job. We'll be back. You're listening to The Rise Show, 940 ESPN.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Colliers International, Fashion Furniture across from River Park, Emmanuel Schools, and Van Buren Insurance.
We are live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone. We're going to get a little photo here with Tim Simons and Mike Noakes as we're doing the show here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone, River Park. Matt,
this
is how we roll right here, live radio.
Live radio, shot with the legends.
And this is what we're doing, Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. Located at River, right across the street from River Park. So you haven't been here before, you are missing out. This is truly the greatest place ever, and I do want to thank our guests today, Tim Simons and Mike Noakes. Maddie, that was special.
That was a pleasure. And the sad thing is that there's just so much to talk about, and you're trying to condense what you think you want to say and not. It never comes out completely right from my position. To hear and see and visually put Coach Noakes and Coach Simons in the same room, and to think back, as he said, they've been friends for 50 years, more than 50 years. That's amazing. I mean, when you can be blessed with a buddy for that long, that's special.
Truly special, and they're giving back still. They're still out coaching.
Yeah, that's another thing too. Yeah. They're not off in parts unknown Idaho, retired and living in the cabin. And no, they're out there. Coach Simons is still coaching, still working it, and Coach Noakes is back in the high school game over at Bullard.
Think about that coaching staff with Aaron Weimer. You got the legendary Mike Noakes back. Tom Donald's going to help out. You got Bobby Waits. You got Cal Kane, who can coach. I love Cal. I got to play baseball with him. He gives back like no other. Bullard went to one of the shakiest staffs ever in the last 10 years to one of the best in the country.
Yeah, and they did it. And they did it in the world of football too. They started assembling. Coach Arak's trying to put together that all-star staff. The great thing when you bring in the knowledge and the wisdom of the names you mentioned, not just only Coach Noakes, the names on that staff of coaches, there's not one possible situation that would ever come up, whether it's a problem with a player, whether it's an academic thing we need to talk about, whether it's the banquet being planned, whatever it might be in the world of a team, that's covered. I know this because, you know, sometimes I've had a great group of coaches. Yeah. This last group I had, a great coaching staff, where you can lean on a lot of things that you have to take off your plate. But with that group, boy, all bases, literally speaking, are all covered.
Well, I'm getting a lot of messages from high school football coaching, and they want to know who's going to be the next Edison Tiger coach. I don't have a clue. I thought It was going to be Corey Hall, but I'm hearing maybe not now. Do you know?
Well, that went silent. That went dead on that note because we already would have heard that. But, you know, there are certain coaches, whether you're a credentialed teacher or whether you're a classified type person, meaning you could take a classified job in some version of administration, other positions in a school district, because it would be my estimation that Coach Hall, with his background of traveling the college circuit, being a professional ex-football player and where he's been and traveled, you're going to have to pay him. He's not going to come in and – the great thing, and Coach Noakes mentioned Tim McDonald is a great athlete. Whatever might be there, those days are over. If you're going to bring in a coach like that, you're going to have to get him a job. You're going to have to pay him. And Corey Hall is going to need to get employment.
And you both coached at Edison from the World Sports Cafe. So that's not easy when you get there at 3 o'clock and all of a sudden you find out, little Johnny, hey, what happened at school today? That's hard.
Yeah, and thank goodness that our fellow great World Sports Cafe, Venture 46 Incorporated, our company, because we had other business ventures, thank goodness they didn't get a chance to look into the books and realize, where did all that profit go? Well, we just put it back into the new field at Edison. What? Well, Tim said we needed to sell a few more cheeseburgers this month to help pay for the irrigation. That is probably the biggest hang-up I heard, because I had a gig. I had a job in the Fresno Unified School District, and I love the school district.
When you were the head coach at
Edison. And I love the people that I worked under. And what we were trying to accomplish in the transformation of the student athlete in Fresno Unified School District, well, that job has gone bye-bye, apparently. So now you're looking at whoever they bring in, whether it's a credentialed teacher, there's your job, teacher. But if you're not that teacher, what are they going to do? And I think that's where Corey Hall got into a little dilemma of what's he going to do for a job.
I think Edison has to find the right person. And I said it before, when you left, and we all know why, and I'm not going to go there anymore, Washington Union was going to be a powerhouse, and so was Central, and so was Memorial. And look what happened. Washington Union is now a powerhouse. Central is off the charts to being a powerhouse. And, of course, Memorial is a powerhouse. And Edison is on their way to be in Division II and Division III before too long if they don't get the right guy in there.
You have to stabilize. I go back to Coach Noakes again in the interview. You've got to take care of the kids you have, number one. And they've had plenty of young student-athletes that are pretty doggone good, except they lost them. They lost a bevy of talent to Central, a little bit of talent to Memorial, and a few talented young men to Washington Union. Shocking. All three of those teams were in deep, if not winning, their prospective playoff run. It's a player's game, football. It's always been that way. And if you get a quality coach, they're all over the place. There's great coaches everywhere. But if you can't hold your talent together, that's just the day and age we live in. That's the paradigm that Coach Noakes was talking about. If you can't hold them together and keep them part of energy and excitement on your campus, they're going to go elsewhere. And that, to me, is how important it is at a place like Edison to have the right head coach, because you're not just trying to win football games. You're trying to change and massage a student-athlete to make sure that he gets – the education he needs, and he needs to stick around and bleed the black and gold.
So I'm doing my all-star team right now. And I'm going to do the team of the year, quarterback, running back, all the way through, every position, the best of the best.
Yeah.
But I look at, and I got to give some love to Kyle Biggs and that Central coaching staff, because after Trent Tompkins left, the record-setting quarterback, and we all said, oh, what is Central going to do now? They're losing Trent. What are they going to do? Comes in a transfer, Jamison Silva, who was he was average at best the last when he was a sophomore and junior. Didn't do anything fancy. They coached him up, and he threw 71%. In high school, he led almost one of the tops in the country percentage throwing. Yep. He was like 221 for 334. And unbelievable.
And that's a tribute to the growth and maturation of Jamison Silva as a player, the great student-athlete that he is, but also to the great coaching and the discipline of what Kyle Biggs has created, because he has an identity. The Central offense has an identity. We know what they do. It's 10 personnel, which means they're going to have one back, zero tight ends typically. They're going to spread the football out. They've got perfect weapons in the slot, perfect outside weapons. They're always going to have one solo running back, whether that's Conley or any of the others they've had come through there, and all you need to do is manage and be a trigger man to that offense, and Kyle Biggs has brought that to the party, and that's why Jamison Silva had a great season. And let's not forget, I was leaving Edison, but Jamison Silva transferred from Central to Edison. Then he transferred back to Central. So it wasn't like he was a Tiger the whole way. He didn't want to sit behind Trent Tompkins. Let's not kid ourselves. That's a fact. Who would want to do that? If you think you have ability, that's the new rule. That's what we just talked about with the two legends of coaching. If you know that the guy ahead of you is the Pagmeter's player of the year, and, oh, by the way, he was only a junior and he's coming back and you're the other quarterback, and I get what Coach Noakes is talking about and what you've also mentioned, but if you really want to play, you're going to have to leave, because unless Trent Tompkins goes down, which no one wishes that on anybody, Jamison Silva never would have played. He went to Edison and he played and got his feet wet.
Well, we do know that the Buchanan Bears, D.J. Stevenson transferred to Central.
Now D.J. Stevenson left Buchanan, now he's at Central.
I would put right now that Kyle Biggs is going to coach D.J. Stevenson up, and he's going to be an outstanding quarterback. He has the worst throwing form I've ever seen. It's a sidearm. It's ugly, and I think everyone knows he needs to be coached up. I don't know why he didn't get it at Buchanan, but watch D.J., his progression from today until the week.
And not only that, the great thing is you've seen in college football and now even in the National Football League with the likes of Lamar Jackson doing his thing in Baltimore, that spread – gun attack is predicated not only on your ability to throw the ball overhand with precise precision like many of those great quarterbacks do. There's an element of the run part of it. And I always felt when D.J. Stevenson was at Buchanan, I'm with you, look at that ugly throwing motion. Why is he not running the football? But they never did for some reason. I think you're going to see a progression of D.J. Stevenson. We'll give you a little bit of nickel and dime with the throws, be the best of his ability. I'm sure Coach Biggs will get him to the best of his ability. But if DJ would wrap around the idea of, okay, now, as a quarterback, the lanes are there now. Go take it. Because Trent Tompkins never ran the football. He just scrambled and made his own thing happen. Yeah. It wasn't like it was a designated run.
Aaron Rodgers.
He created some great stuff, Trent. Jamison's not really a runner. But if DJ's the kind of athlete that we've talked about, maybe he's the next high school version of Lamar Jackson to run around our valley.
I think once Kyle Biggs gets a hold of him, he sure will be. And I think if you want to compare Jamison Silva, Trent Tompkins, and DJ, DJ's by far the best athlete. If he learns how to get that throwing motion going, sky's the limit.
Well, once again, the word athlete, that's kind of debatable because last I checked, Trent Tompkins was a heck of a baseball player.
But Trent had a strange little giddy-up throw, too. But he was a gunslinger.
He never threw with the laces.
Yeah.
Never, ever in my life have I seen somebody so proficient with never grabbing the laces on a football. That was part of his deal.
And he wasn't afraid to throw it in a tight pocket either. Like I said, DJ, and I think keep an eye on him at Central.
Central's like the modern day now of our valley. Modern day loses their quarterback, and JT goes off to USC. You know, where did Bryce Young come from? Well, they've never had to do without a trigger man.
For a while.
It was very similar to when I was at Edison in the years with Tim McDonald, then when I coached myself. We never had to feel the true pain until those last couple of years where we didn't have a quarterback. But every year that we had a quarterback, we were knocking on the door for a championship. If you have a quarterback, you will win a lot of football games, specifically at a place like Central.
Well, that's duh. Look at all the great teams this year. The teams that won it all had great quarterbacks. You could start from Division I all the way to 6. They all had great quarterbacks.
By the way, talking great quarterbacks, looking at our friends from Bakersfield, Liberty Bakersfield, who produced Jordan Love, the great quarterback, Utah State, I'm leading a draft, mock-up draft deal, and he's stuck like to go number 6 in the draft, number 8 in the draft. I had no idea that he was that well-recognized throughout the nation as far as a top 10 first-round draft pick.
He's smart. He's very accurate.
I guess he got a great arm, too.
He's a great arm. I mean, everything you want. And you can look at all the NFL quarterbacks and who's going to be the top. Got the national championship game coming up. It's going to be a good one. And
go Tigers.
I don't know how. I know Clemson undefeated, and they got the, you know, quarterback Trevor, I mean, Lawrence had never lost a game, but, boy, LSU's good.
Well, LSU has always been good, and I've been saying for the last 15, 20 years it seems like now, when is LSU ever going to get a quarterback? They have every other position covered. They've got, obviously, the National Football League is the ultimate test to see how good you are. They've got some of the greatest receivers ever in the history to come through LSU. Odell Beckham Jr., by the way, went to LSU. But he never had a quarterback thrown to him in college. Joe Burrow's the difference maker.
I like Joe Burrow because, I'm you know how I am with quarterbacks. Yep. I look at their technique. Do they have the ball pointed down? Are they throwing downhill? Joe Burrow is as close as I've ever seen to a Tom Brady-style throwing. And I think he's going to be very successful in the NFL because of that.
And he also can make people pay the price with his feet. He can move. Joe Burrow's a difference maker. That's what I think is going to be the difference. Trevor Lawrence, now don't sleep on him at Clemson, but I like LSU.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's under 7 points right now, the spread. I would have guessed it would have been 14.
Yeah.
Something like that. That's what I think LSU. But
I think the over-under, though, is like 69 points or something big.
Nick Foligno was telling us that. That's a lot of points.
Yeah.
That's the whole key, too. You got to – at the end of the first quarter, it's 3-0, and you took the over, and you're going, oh, my, what am I doing here? It's going to be a long game for you.
Might not be 69, but, I mean, I just –
it's close.
It was a big number, I remember hearing.
It's close.
That.
No, back to the All-Star team.
Yes.
And no one else does an All-Star
team. Best player at every position.
Yeah, and I'm going to do like I said, every position, and then I'm going to do a PAG meter, first team, second. We're talking every team in our section, from Central Coast. We got a lot of good football players. And I know, speaking of Jameson Silva, he just got an offer from University of San Diego. I think he's a late bloomer, and people are going to start realizing this kid's good.
Once again, demonstrating his total picture, his academic. If you're talking University of San Diego, your transcript better look really good.
Yeah. How about Jalen McMillan in the All-American Bowl?
Running away from people. We saw the speed. We saw the length. That smooth gliding style. No question. There was never a question in my mind when I saw him as a sophomore that might be one of the greatest receivers we've ever had come through our valley.
And I think Washington Huskies, when they see that game, going, yeah, we're getting somebody in here. But I'm looking at USC. What's going on? They're not getting top players anymore.
Well, they didn't get the big five stars, but it was a necessity of what they needed. They needed line. Would they have liked to have got the number one ranked pass rush kid in high school or the number one? Of course. But the bottom line is, the kiss of death in college football is, what do you mean, your coach is what? Well, he's not going to be around. Yeah, he's getting fired. What? Dad, I don't want to go.
Well, we don't know if he is or not.
So the question, it's like someone said on one of the stations that the two worst things that can happen to you, one is your coach just got fired. The other is your coach is going to get fired. That's what USC's been up against. They did get who I think is the sleeper of the entire nation, high school-wise, Gary Bryant Jr. I think it's Gary Bryant Jr., the wide receiver, four-star athlete, could play corner, safety, or wide receiver. They did secure his talent over that Army All-American game. But the signing deal is not over. This early signing thing has screwed everything up. Everybody's, oh, it's over with. They're done. They still got the February signing date, and I can assure you that they're going to get probably three or four new names that you haven't heard about yet that are going to make people forget about this horrible recruiting season.
People want to know, is Kendall Milton going to play in the City-County All-Star game? Zero chance since he's already enrolled at Georgia.
Yeah, so. Kendall's already already getting himself together. And
he, you know what? I mean, and
moving
and
out.
The other Georgia running back, the top guy, has already said he's going to be in the NFL in draft.
Yeah.
It's got to help Kendall a little bit, right?
Georgia's always going to have great running backs. I don't care who they recruited or did not recruit. There's already probably three standouts on that roster somewhere. Kendall's going to go compete for a job. And I think he's going to do great things. I really do.
And we're going to have Coach DeBoer on soon, the new Fresno State coach. He loves our show. He listens all the time. He can't wait. I love that about him because he knows no one has the audience like the Rice Show and the Zone Show with local, with all the coaches and the ADs and the players. But his staff is, you know, like I said, you're getting a new house. You want to decorate it what you want. Everyone thought, well, he'll just keep the Fresno State staff, right? It doesn't work that way in college football.
It doesn't work that way in any coaching circle. If you grow up, if you and I, let's say somebody, you know, calls you or calls myself out of the blue, hey, Bristol, Connecticut would like you two to take over Beth Moen's play-by-play game. They'd heard a rumor that she's not doing
call Rex Hudler, yeah.
Which is the way it goes. Yeah. Kalen DeBoer has a little group of friends from his travels that they sit around in the dorms during training camp when you're at the small college level and it's just a little dorm they're living in. Hey, one day one of us is going to get a decent job, and I'd love to join your staff. You're in. If I ever get, you're in. They cut deals when they're growing up together.
So it can't
and
be
that's what happened. Yeah. He has buddies that, I thought you said if you ever get a D1 job, you're going to bring me along. All right, come along. So he's going to bring his own team in. And that's a great idea. I mean, not a great idea. It's just the way it should be. I do think, obviously, they need to have a local flavor. But I will say this so much about Coach DeBoer, Kalen DeBoer. Another, we talked with Coach Tim Simons about when he was on Fresno State staff, his territory recruit. I've never been so impressed with a recruiting gentleman, and I've been doing this a long time, when Kalen DeBoer came and visited us over at Madera South. And he did it twice just to get a little feedback, to pick our brain, to ask, hey, what does Pag need to think of this guy? Where's the list of who? Very in tune with our valley. So I expect big things and good things, and I wish him the best. And I'm sure they'll have a local presence on that staff, if they don't already.
Tomorrow night for local basketball is going to be one of the best nights before Selden Arena we've ever had. You and I are going to be broadcasting on NorCal TV. We're still working out the zone show. It still don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But there's going to be a sellout crowd at Clovis North Gym as Clovis West girls start at 5:30, hosting Clovis West, two of the top teams in the state, two of the top teams in the country, battling private professional high schools, followed by the boys' side. It's going to be great. I'm excited to do it with you tomorrow night. But for high school basketball.
Are we doing both games?
We're doing both games. It doesn't get any better than this. You didn't get that memo?
I didn't get that memo. I thought it was either the boys or the girls. I didn't know that it was one of those, you know, back-to-back. I got to get my throat lozenges going right away.
Once you get in the chair, Matt, you're going to be so fired up. This is unbelievable. To start with the girls, you got Clovis West versus Clovis North. I mean, you look at, you got Heather Wahlberg Long. Her pops coaches Clovis West. So, it's so many great stories. Versus Craig Campbell, then you got Tony Amundsen at Clovis North boys versus Vance Wahlberg. And I think Clovis North, and you mentioned last week that Clovis North gym, it holds 4,500, but there's gyms in Indiana that's nothing.
The largest gyms in all of America for high school, let's just say there was 20 on the list, 10, 12, 11, 13 were all from Indiana, 8,200, 8,600, 8,400. How in the world is Indiana basketball not winning again? I mean, that to me has got to be the biggest story. You talk about University of Texas football. How can those guys not be fighting for a national championship every year? They're in the middle of Texas in Austin, and football, as we know, in Texas is huge, and UT is the number one, other than Michigan, financially secure institution of all of them. Well, how about Indiana basketball? The hotbed, the legendary home of where basketball is like football in Texas. How are they not winning anything? University of Indiana is in trouble, Bloomington.
Well, don't you think, though, when you think of high school basketball, what do you first think of? The legendary Indiana basketball, Larry Bird and all that.
Just Indiana, the state, the Hoosier state.
When you think of
basketball.
High school football, what do you think?
Texas.
I mean, that's just how it is back, but I don't know. But Clovis North, I will put that to
you.
Anybody.
Continue to talk about UT Longhorn football. They got to get it going. And I'm going to let you start talking about when is Indiana University, the Hoosiers, ever going to win anything again? In basketball.
Great. Well, when Bobby Knight left, it kind of...
They were Kentucky in my... as I grew up as a kid, I'm thinking Kentucky, Indiana, yeah. North Carolina, Duke.
It's all about the coach, correct? In basketball.
UCLA, that was
we talked about it.
Yeah.
You get butts in the seat at Fresno State. We got to get... I mean, it starts with Coach Hudson and get butts in the
you
seat.
You got to hire Bobby and Walter. If you bring in Bobby Walter, let Art do the recruiting, and Coach Snokes can do the consulting. We're talking Sweet 16. Yes.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's we got so many great things going on here in local sports. We got, basketball, like I said, tomorrow night. Selden Arena, you and I will
it's
be
coming.
Broadcasting
for
here before you know it. But it's the start of league play already. And then baseball and football and softball's already starting. We got soccer going on. It's a great time, Matt.
It is. As you come off, some of the school districts are back. We come back, Madera Unified, next week. Back at it.
This week, too?
Well, we got off a week later than everyone else. It's just, it's all the same, but we got off a week later than everyone. I like the idea of getting off later. I don't need another week ahead of time before my Christmas break. I need that Friday and then get ready for Christmas the next week. But basketball's been going on. It's going to be interesting to see where the soccer teams are at right now this time of the year as we get out. And then track and field gets ready to crank it up. That's when I'll be leaving you and Walter will be taking over the show. When we get to track season, that's it. Because Walter's about ready to divorce this high school world of basketball, state, nationally wise. He's getting a little fed up with what he's been witnessing. With transfers everywhere and, oh, my God.
I don't think there's any question that basketball, high school basketball, is the most corrupt sport there is on the planet. And it's just getting worse and worse with the Adidas, you know, and the summer ball and all the AAU. It just doesn't end. Right? I mean, 7M, I thought 7-on-7 by now would be like that, but it's kind of simmered off in my book. Is it? Is it still corrupt?
I don't want to say it's corrupt. It's just, it's the new age. And DB Guru and Lee Perkins, congratulations, are getting ready. They're practicing. They're getting themselves together. We'll be following that story. It's a whole new world. It's a whole new sport. And it's still football, but it's its own version. And it's its own new sport. Just like basketball and this travel basketball, this tournament that culminates every year, and it's on ESPN with these club teams. That's bigger than high school basketball. Club basketball, I didn't realize. Now, I'm talking about the elite. Now, there's always the major majority of the basketball players, good players, nice players. They're lucky to ever play basketball outside of high school. They're getting it done. But the elite basketball player in high school, high school basketball season is just a small part of their life. The big part is when they go to their club team and they go fight for the national championship. It's no longer high school basketball.
No.
And football will be the same way, I think. At some point, that club 7-on-7 team you belong to, once football season's over and it gets into the spring, you're gearing up for that spring through summer run to go win the national championship of 7-on-7.
And I agree with you. You said it during the break. If anybody from, like, Trinity Prep calls you and wants to get play you in a game, hang up the phone.
Yeah.
That's not high school basketball anymore. Go, might as well go call Fresno City College.
It's sickening to me. It really is that you still not have realized through the polling agencies, the Max Preps of the world, that I don't consider IMG Academy number one in anything. That's a separate. That's an institution, a university of higher athletic learning. It is not a high school. To put modern day in a high school ranking, I don't believe in that. I do not believe in putting anyone that aspires to 24/7 greatness in their sport and lose sight of the fact that you're still part of a high school.
Well, what cuts that off then? What is the cutoff? Because we have some local private schools around here.
The cutoff to me is, I think I'm going to set my cutoff to, if your sport, let's use basketball, if you're starting five or all Division I recruited players, you belong in your own new separate deal. If your football team of seven of your offensive starters and seven or eight of your defensive starters are all Division I college football recruits, you go into a different category.
What if they go to Division
I? Memorial is okay in my book. They've got one, two, or three. It's not like they signed everybody in this field to go. Jalen McMillan, Mac Delana. Who else did we notice that signed on for anybody else?
Well, what if
out of that school?
What if Memorial says, "Yeah, we do have five new Division I players, but we want to move to Division I." Is that okay in your book?
It's still fine until they get 11 Division I players on offense, 11 on defense. They're no longer part of any division. No Division I, no. They go play in a whole new separate jurisdiction, a new governing body, if you will, develops those super professional schools.
In your mind, do you think it'll ever happen around here?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Four or five at
because
the most.
Because we have public schools that are basically private professionals that are doing the same thing. And don't tell me we don't, because down in Bakersfield, the battle between Liberty, Bakersfield, and anyone else, it's in the public school arena. Don't tell me. They got kids transferring around, too, down there.
It's interesting to see the second year for Ball Gola at Garces, what happens now with the transfers and, you know, if how many people are going to start making the move.
If you think Garces, the traditional bastion of great leadership and athleticism and Garces is going to sit idly by and watch this whole train pass them by as these schools are going on for greater athletes, better this, better that, more opportunities in the big state playoff games. You're crazy. You think they brought in Paul Golub to, like, hey, Paul, just make sure the kids graduate, okay? No, he's down there for one reason. They want to be relevant. They want to be the central, the San Joaquin Memorial of our valley.
And he wants to be Division One. He's already said, oh, yeah. I don't want to be a Division
Oh, he's not going to. He's not going to skirt anybody. He's going to go out and try to play everybody.
Yeah, no question about it.
I had this question, by the way, for Coach Noakes and Coach Simons when they were here, and I forgot to bring it up. And I got this as I was driving down from the mountain from a ski trip.
Which would cut your...
And I saw an ad for milk, and I'm thinking, okay, what has happened? We talk about sports. What's happened to milk? This new age of milk.
I love milk.
We have filtered milk, soy milk, almond milk, rice milk, flax milk, hemp milk, hazelnut milk, coconut milk, oat milk. There's cashew nut milk. What's going on with this? Can we just have milk?
Whole milk. I like the traditional
non-fat,
milk.
Low-fat, skim milk.
I like traditional. I'm down to 1%.
Clearly, nobody is drinking regular milk anymore.
I am.
It's official.
I mean, I'm down to 1% with my cookies at night, but I can't get into the almond milk. And Nick Folio, who's a big hay guy, he really pumps up the dairy world with Todd Soares and all them. Great.
1% milk's not milk.
Keep supporting the dairies out there. Okay?
Absolutely.
Love that. Also, support Dickie's Barbecue on Fowler and Herndon. I want to thank Mike Noakes and Tim Simons today for coming on. It was a special day for me.
It was. I like cookies and I like popcorn.
That's what you do. Tony D coming up next to have the Bulldog Hour. He'll figure out what's going on. I don't know what we're doing yet tomorrow on the Zone Show, but you are going to be with me. I know if it's either going to be here or we're going to be at Clovis North. We're still trying to work it out.
Set up the gym, yep.
Yeah, so we'll figure that out. Do want to thank everyone here at Fashion Furniture, Rod and the family. Come on over and support Fashion Furniture. Support everyone local. Have a great afternoon. You've been listening to the 940 ESPN, your Central Section sports leader. As Matt says,
get in the game.
There you go.